Dear Jamila, I woke up this morning with rest on my mind. I took my time lifting my body out of my bed and stood sleepy-eyed, staring out of my window at my magnolia. After making a cup of tea, I put on your song Sula paperback, and I sat doing absolutely nothing all day. This act of shutting out the world, if only for a day, felt dangerous. It felt forbidden. And as I listened to you singing Sula to me, I thought of Toni Morrison's reminder and warning that you are not the work you do, you are the person you are. I'd love the chance to sit and talk with you about centering rest, disengaging from the demands of the hustle culture and grind culture, and the hard but necessary task of recentering ourselves away from our work, recentering our needs, our voice, in a world that attempts to distract, diminish, and divide our inner lives. I do hope this message finds you blessed and well rested. Best, Adia. Welcome to Call and Response from Sono Sound System, the show about the communal spirit of music making and listening. I'm Adia Victoria. I'm a musician, a poet, and a writer based in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a Black woman from the Deep South, leaning into the blues to make sense of this world. Today on Call and Response, my interview with Jamila Woods. Jamila is a poet, a musician, an all-around visionary from Chicago. And I'm holy by my own. Jamila's passion for Black literature is made clear in her 2019 album, Legacy, Legacy, a collection of songs, each dedicated to the life and work of a Black luminary from James Baldwin to Zora Neale Hurston. In this conversation, I speak with Jamila about musical lineage, about finding freedom and how her relationship to ideas of home and rest have shifted since the pandemic. After that, I'll share a collection of songs inspired by our conversation, like Bette Davis's 70s Blues and Howlin' Wolf's Going Down Slow, Blues at Midnight by Sun Ra, and so many others. So you can hear all of these blues over on Mixcloud at mixcloud.com/sonos. We'll leave a link in the playlist in the show notes for y'all as well. And now, here's my conversation with Jamila Woods. The last time that I saw you, you were performing in Nashville at Vanderbilt. I think you had just kind of kicked off the promotional tour behind your record, Legacy, Legacy.
Yes.
And I was in the audience getting my life when I tell you, you were gathering me.
Thank you.
I want to start by asking you, what does your life sound like right now?
I was actually just reflecting on how loud the sounds around where I live, how loud it is.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to record something yesterday, and my friend who I live with has 4 chickens and 2 roosters, and just the neighborhood, like, it's springtime now, it's warmer, people are outside again. Sometimes it feels like very cacophonous, maybe a little chaotic, but it's kind of nice to live in a place where you can get a pulse of how other people are doing without needing to go outside, just based on how it sounds.
Ooh, I have to rewind for a second. Y'all got 4 chickens and 2 roosters in Chicago?
Yeah, I didn't know that was possible either. But yeah, my friend Pigeon, it's their little farm that I live on. That's actually how I met in the pandemic. It's how I met a lot of the neighborhood, is when the chickens escaped. And so we just all walked around like looking for the chickens.
Oh.
And all the neighbors were like, it's probably at Popeye's. Like, they're probably, someone's probably eating your chicken.
But yeah, that's been served with 2 sides right now. Hate it for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be reflecting on the chickens this whole interview, but I'll try and put that aside. I've been sitting with your record. And one of the things I love about Legacy, Legacy is each title, each song is dedicated to a Black luminary that you've learned from, whose path you follow. You know, it's everyone from Bette Davis, there's Octavia Butler, Sun Ra, you know, Basquiat. I was really caught on the song Zora. None of us are free, but some of us are brave. I dare you to shrink my way. I'm all out of fuss to keep. know, I saw you mention in an interview a quote from her when she said, "I felt most colored when I was thrown against a sharp white background." And I thought about, you know, the struggle for so many of us to contextualize yourself in this world against a dominant society. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, what was the process like of recording these songs? You know, how were you able to further and deeper locate yourself? It's a big question.
Ways. Yeah, no, I love it. I really love just spending whole days just researching and reading. And I think maybe I had known that I love to do that, but I think with this project, it was really cool to kind of just acknowledge that as like a part of my writing process. So like, mm-hmm. you know, reading Zora's essay or watching videos of people, interviews and things like that, especially the interviews, just the way that these artists would carry themselves and also would engage with mostly white interviewers who don't seem to be like, you know, really tapped into the work of the person or yes. really what they're doing, just kind of this inane sort of questioning. And just to see them, it kind of just would roll off or they'd laugh or they'd just be unfazed, unbothered by it.
Right.
And I think I was in a place where, I don't know if you felt like this with like making a second album after you make a first album, just this sense of, there is this defined thing that I made and can I evolve from that? Or what, you know, have I been pigeonholed too much? And right. so it was just really freeing to watch different artists engage with that. And mm-hmm. I think with Zora specifically, that's just such a powerful essay. There's just so many layers to it. Right. And I think the part that gets quoted a lot is, you know, I feel most colored when I'm against a sharp white background.
Right.
But then she also goes on to say, I feel most colored when I'm surrounded by like black people and like when she can hear them laughing and she flips it and is kind of just talking about when she feels, you know, around people who are like her. I think that this process of making legacy, it felt very healing to me too, because it honestly was just, I had to make that album. And I think there was a point right before it was going to come out where I had just gone through like a really hard breakup and I was just feeling really down. And I was like, honestly, like the first thought, like the day after the breakup, I was like, dang, I don't know if I wrote the right album to like help me through this. It was a very like superficial thought. I was like, I didn't write any like love songs or breakup songs, I guess. Later, I was like, no, this is the perfect album because singing the songs, it felt like through osmosis, I was like getting the strength and vulnerability and, you know, the tools that I needed to heal and continue healing and to continue trying to know myself and expand myself. So,
oh, yes. See, I love that. I love that you were very intentional in creating that space, giving yourself that grace to fully know Jamila, to like dig mm-hmm. deeper, you know? And I think that's so hard, that vulnerability for people to do. I think we're kind of socialized to find little holes to like get in where you fit in and just yeah. like stay there. We say in Nashville, you keep fucking that chicken. Back to
Wait,
the chickens.
Say it again?
You keep fucking that chicken.
Oh
you
find my God.
You find your chicken to fuck and you just keep going for it. And it's just like, well, you're limiting yourself. But I love how, you know, you have this poet's grace and you're like, I'm never going to be done interrogating myself. Like, I'm never going to be done peeling this onion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's like very... It's relieving to me, that
yes.
thought, because even when I talk to younger, like, mentees or just younger kind of sister friends that I have, and when they're going through something, that's, like, one of the main things that I try to communicate is, like, you don't have to, like, get this thing right, and, like, it's not a lesson. You're going to learn it, and you're never going to re-encounter it again.
Right.
It's never going to be like, oh, A+, now moving on and it's done.
Right.
And it's not, that's not a failure, you know?
Right.
That's just a part of life.
It's just a phase.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
when I listen to your music, I hear like the philosophical concerns of the blues.
Mm.
And one of the songs that struck me most off of Legacy was Muddy.
Yeah.
And the first line of Muddy, I love it. Well, can you just say it or do you want me to say it?
Motherfuckers won't shut up.
Yes.
That.
That you talked about, you went and read or you watched a lot of interviews with Muddy to get his, mm-hmm. you know, his style and his phrasing and his flavor, right?
Yeah, that the video that I ended up watching, the interview, was also a really big inspiration for the song because he's asking Muddy Waters, like, why do you think white kids like your music so much?
What is it you think about the music that draws young white kids to it? You mentioned the fact that groups like the Rolling Stones have turned them on to the music.
And, you know, do you think white kids could ever learn how to play the blues like you? And he's like me?
You mean, in other words, the young kids can learn to play a guitar that way, but they can't learn to sing that way?
Like me? You mean white kids?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know better.
Why is that?
they ain't got enough soul, man. They ain't had enough hard time.
You know? And so, like, those, like, me's and, like, the laughs at the end of the song are really me trying to, like, sample that moment. Like me.
No. Like me. Yes.
That whole conversation, even though, you know, it was kind of about rock and roll, the blues, but it really felt like it could be about hip-hop. It could be about, like,
yes.
hair braiding. It could be about anything that's being, you know, appropriated, that's kind of making the creators, the black creators, invisible, you know,
yes.
in the name of commodification. To me, it just felt very empowering, his reaction, his just like, that's actually ridiculous. Like,
that's
I'm
insane.
Just gonna laugh.
Yes.
Not even getting like so pressed about it. Because
yes.
I do think that's maybe it's also like social media energy of like, oh my God, that's problematic. I'm pressed, you know?
Right.
And I just like,
I'm triggered.
Don't. Yeah, and I don't want to have that energy, like, you know, of always being afraid of something being taken from me.
Yes.
Versus like, no, that's impossible that it,
yes.
that it could ever be taken.
I love that so much in your art. Like, it's this idea of like holding on to your discretion as a black person. You know, I feel like, you know, especially dealing with like the white press, they want to like know mm-hmm. everything about you, read you like
mm-hmm.
a book.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that intrusion. And I love on your song Basquiat, where you basically the framing of the song is like, I don't want to smile if I don't want to. Like, my smile mm-hmm. is not employed. I'm a stovetop baby. I smile in your face, but the oven's on high. And I thought about how our ancestors were able to survive by maintaining privacy.
Mm,
by not wow. being able to be read, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's deep.
I love Basquiat for that purpose, and it actually harkens back to Window Seat by Erykah Badu. So can I get a window seat? Hey. Next to me. She's like, I don't want nobody sitting next to me. I just want a window seat. Like, I just need some time. Like, I don't want y'all looking at me.
Mm.
It's not a mask, but it's just this ownership of my inner self, and you don't have access to that.
Yeah, that's so powerful.
I love that.
That makes me think about Bette Davis, too, because I was just revisiting her documentary. And
yes, I love the way that you treat her in this body of work. I saw that you mentioned you had seen the 2017 documentary, They Say I'm Fine.
Mm, they Say I'm Different.
The Same Different. And I realized, like, I don't really know anything about this woman. Like, I know her music and I know her persona, but I knew nothing about her life.
Yeah.
And I realized that was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's just like, nope, you have no access to me. I owe you nothing. Goodbye.
Yeah. What a boss move.
I know.
I think that was also something I had to think about with Legacy. At a certain point, I had to give myself permission to write about my impressions of these people. And I'm not writing biographical songs about these people. I'm writing my impressions of them and really self-portraits, you know, through them.
I think what you were doing was actually infinitely more difficult. Like, you were holding space for them to be them, but you were kind of laying bare the way that they had shaped your life, the way that you viewed your life through the lens of their work and their journey. Like, that's hard to do.
Thank you.
Over the course of doing research for our conversation today, one of the things that I loved most was reading about the work that you had done as a former member of Young Chicago Authors, where you mentor young high school age writers as they're beginning their journey, you know, in self-expression. You said one of the things that you do is you ask them to draw a lineage map. Why do you do that?
It was a part of my teaching to always involve whatever I was working on creatively and try to just work on it with my students. So when I was writing Legacy, I was just thinking, okay, how can I teach this concept of not writing about someone, but writing through them? Ooh. And so I came up with this prompt of making a lineage map where they would write out, who are the people who allowed you to be the artist that you are? And then they chose one of them and, you know, followed the kind of structure of naming the poem after them and then writing kind of through in that way.
Who would you say, I guess, apart from the luminaries that you featured on Legacy, like, who's been on your lineage map? Who's guiding you?
I've definitely been thinking about Lucille Clifton a lot. I have her poem like right above my desk here, but her economy of words and just the way that, you know, all of her poems are just these short, like powerful, concentrated bits of wisdom and imagery. I tend to rely on having a lot of words to use. And so what about when I use less, you know, what can I say with that?
I love the poetry of your thought process. It's, girl, I'm taking notes. I can hear it. I'm at school. We are at church. We are at school. One of the songs that I've been sitting very closely with is your song Sula, Paperback. So Sula is one of, you know, Toni Morrison's novels that deals with Black women and friendships and creating your own identity separate from the dominant narrative. And I just finished reading that book when I discovered your song. I was like, oh, this is, you know, lucky. And I really thought about a quote that Toni Morrison gave where she said, you're not the work you do, you're the person you are.
Yeah.
And I thought about that, you know, we're in the middle of quarantine, you know, you and I, we can't tour. Who are we separate from this persona that we've erected to share our art around? And I thought about, who am I separate from someone that's productive, someone that's making things, someone that's, you know, growing their status?
Yeah.
How has your relationship with rest and restoration been altered by this pandemic, this sacred pause we're in the middle of?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And that quote about you're not the work you do. Yes. Just on a very tangible level, I noticed that I stopped like having a set time to wake up or go to sleep. I guess I kind of just let myself atomically figure out like, oh, how much sleep does my body need, you know, during this time of the month or this time, you know, okay, like this is, if I get, you know, I just kind of became more in touch with, you know, how my body wants to rest. I was talking with a friend about FOMO and how in the beginning, it was kind of like a different type of FOMO that's like, we're all missing out on everything that we thought we were going to be doing, which in a way was kind of like, it's like solidarity in that. It's kind of like nice to not be alone in that. And now it feels like, oh, like some people are moving back out. And so I think I'm shifting my relationship to FOMO in a nice way, because I'm like, I don't want to be oriented by a fear of anything, you know, and kind of just looking at the abundance of a life that I can have without all the things I thought were so critical.
Has there been any music that you've found like that helps you rest, that helps get you in that place where you can be vulnerable and soft? Because that's a hard music to find.
I like to, I started doing like visioning meditations with, they're not songs, it's like tones. This woman made an album of like singing bowl tones for each zodiac sign. It's called Chords of the Cosmos. So I basically put my three main signs. Each of them are like 5 minutes long. And so I have like my Libra, Capricorn, and Taurus ones. It's like 15 minutes. So that helps me meditate.
I love that.
I made a lot of bath playlists that have more soothing music too. Do you know Tasha? She's from Chicago. Lullaby is a great song. It's a lullaby for black girls.
It's okay. You can keep your magic to yourself. Keep it tucked away.
I have a lot of her songs on my bath playlist.
What is it about Tasha that says bath?
There's like a lushness to the production. It's a lot of like layers of guitars and her vocals, and a lot of times she has a lot of songs about rest, and she talks about her bed as kind of like a sacred place for her. So I think she writes from a space that always is centering kind of like your own comfort and healing and capacity for dreaming too.
I love that. But I don't want to keep you too much longer. I want to let you get some rest, practice your naps.
Thank you.
My last question, I want to ask you, what song is giving you life right now?
In terms of lyric writing, I've been really loving Serpent with Feet and his song Fellowship. It's really like a love song about friendship. It's simple, but it's so complex at the same time and so specific. And yeah, it's just a very beautiful song.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for tracing your lineage with me. I feel located. I feel grounded. Like I kind of want to go walk around the yard barefoot right now after this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you. I feel grounded too. And I'm just so grateful for your thoughtfulness and the way that we just flowed through that conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to leave y'all with a reminder that music is not just a static form that you can sit back and tack it up behind you like wallpaper. It is a map. It is a lineage. It holds clues for you to find yourself and trace yourself. We traced ourselves to Chicago today, but y'all sit down and do some homework and figure out what music is moving you, where it's coming from, how is it locating you, how is it finding you. I also want to remind you to be easy on yourself. Go gentle. We are living in hard times. Don't feel like you have to be popping off all the time. Just take some rest, slow down, and catch your breath. And this has been Call and Response from Sono Sound System. Thank you all for joining us this week. Big thank you to Jamila Woods. I can't wait till I can see her in Chicago and we can have one of them big, deep, weird slices of pizza. Thank you to each and every one of y'all for listening in today. It has been a pleasure holding space with all y'all. To hear all the music in the full version of the show, listen on Sonos Radio or find us at mixcloud.com/Sonos. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. If you like the show, rate it and share it with your friends. And let me know what music is meeting you in this moment. I'm at Adia Victoria across social media. I'm all ears. The show is produced by Work by Work. Scott Newman, Jimmy Rose Brown, Babette Thomas, Megan Lubin, and me, Adia Victoria.
The show was mixed by Sam Baer. Extra gratitude to Joe Dawson and Saida Blount at Sonos. Until next time, y'all, keep your ears and your hearts wide open. Rest easy.